Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a fantastic start. Hope you had a fantastic weekend as well. And you know we are getting close to an NFL football season when this man right here starts to show up a little bit around the radio, your radio dial. DeMarco Farr is joining me this entire week. DeMarco, how you feeling, my friend?
I'm getting ready to charge a dugout. You coming with me?
As long as you go first, sure.
Let's go.
I'm gonna get in right behind you, and then I'm going to do what Matt Chapman with the A's did, and I'm going to grab some jerseys and stand around and make sure that I don't get hit and then pretend that I care. So, yeah, I'm in.
I'm not going down on first contact. I'm not letting you guys put me down. I will accomplish
my
mission. And what's happening, man? How you doing?
I feel great. You know, it's funny. This weekend was almost and I think you'll understand what I'm saying here. This weekend was one of the first weekends in a long time where I actually felt like the pandemic that we've all been living under for the last 5 months was kind of not gone. I don't think it's ever going to be gone anytime soon. But in the background, we had a PGA championship. We had Major League Baseball, NFL, or I should say NBA basketball, NFL training camps are open. There was actually some sports like to choose from, not just because we went 5 months like just anything. I'll watch car racing, anything. This was the first weekend of like, I got to make
road
some choices.
Racing. Yeah, racing, anything. I'd watch anything. But yeah, you're right. I actually got to lay down. I was at my brother's house. He's a big-time golf fan. So I laid down in his bed, and he's got one of these vibrating things, these massage beds. And I watched the entire, you know, Sunday round of the PGA Championship. It was awesome. So I'm with you. It felt like getting back to normal in the world that's anything but right now. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it was nice to have some options, and it was nice to watch that golf as well. Congratulations to Colin Morikawa. He becomes the PGA Championship, all 145 pounds of him and 350 Maybe. Yards that he can hit the ball. That just it's a little demoralizing, I got to tell you.
145, you're adding 20 pounds.
Skinny guy, but man, could he make some shots, and he hit
good for him.
A shot that, you know, it was funny, DeMarco, before we get to some other stuff very quickly, the shot he hit on 16, the drive that he drives the green on a par four on the 16th hole. He hits it to about 8 or 10 feet, setting up an eagle that ultimately wins the tournament for him. It was so weird because it was such an amazing shot and just dead silence. Just that was a moment of, oh, yeah, right, coronavirus.
My brother nailed it, and I hope I can say this on radio and not get in trouble. He said golf porn. That's what that shot was. You know what I mean? Because everybody was just, wow, aw. It was amazing. Yeah, great tournament, great shot. I mean, it was fun to watch him. And it's him, it's Roy McIlroy, Tiger Woods, and Jack Nicklaus, 23 years old to win that major. But I was kind of sad because Tiger wasn't there, you know, so I have to kind of figure out how to find some new stars. Maybe this kid could be that guy. He did go to Cal. That's right around the corner from where I live, so maybe I'll be a fan of his for a while.
There you go. So you got another Pac-12 guy like Tiger in the mix for sure. We'll get to Tiger a little bit later on because I think there's an interesting conversation there. Just, you know, I hate to be the one to break
he
it.
Looks old.
You and I, exactly, right? It's he not only looks old, he plays old. He plays golf like his level of athleticism, of explosiveness. Like, you watch Morikawa and Justin Thomas and all these other guys that were in the mix coming down the straight, maybe with the exception of Paul Casey, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. And then you watch Tiger. Tiger looks around like he looks like the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
He does. No, look, we can't be saying that people look out of shape, you and I. You know what I mean?
That's not a great idea.
He's in shape, but he just looks older compared to the other golfers that are out there, the guys you mentioned. So, yeah, it's sad, but it's also cool to watch new stars arise.
All right, so let's kind of unfortunately stay on the sad angle for half a second. The news kind of broke yesterday that the powers that be in college football, the Power Five conferences, we're talking Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, SEC, ACC, all of the leaders of those conferences have gotten together and are having meetings basically to try to decide whether or not they can have a college football season at all. We've been talking about the players wanting some concessions as far as player safety, social justice, and whatnot. And that has been part of it. But now it looks like we might not get any football at all in the fall just because they cannot figure out a way to do it safely. And I guess that's the right decision, but it's an incredibly disappointing one.
You know, it's funny, man. I put myself, I'm wearing two hats here. As a player, I would stand with them. As a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid, I would probably stand with them and want what they want. But I would want to play as well. You know, this is what I'm born to do. This is all I want to do. This is my love. This is my passion. So I don't want that taken away. But you have to temper that with being smart and being safe. Now, I put myself in a parent role. I wouldn't want my kid going out there playing right now. Especially if you couldn't guarantee his safety. You know, if you couldn't guarantee that you can keep these guys safe and keep them clear of the virus. So, you know, it's a weird situation. You know, as a voyeur of all things football, I'm going to miss college football in the fall. I think that's the most fun you can have watching football is on Saturdays, watching those colleges go at it. But not if it's not safe, man. That just doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I kind of stand with the players right now. How do you feel about the whole thing?
Yeah, well, like you said, I have mixed feelings about it. Here's my global concern, DeMarco, about college football and, quite frankly, NFL football as well. And there's a difference because NFL football players are highly compensated professionals that can make their own decisions about whether they want to do this or not. So
100% agree. Yeah.
Right. We'll get to them in a minute. When it comes to the college players, I want to see it. I love college football the way that you do. You know, every Sunday that you and I see each other, we always talk about what had happened the Saturday before. We love talking about college football, watching college football. But I just don't see how you can play football safely. I just don't see how you can prepare to play football safely. I mean, you've been a football player your entire life. You know how many meetings go into that. You know how many different times you're in a different group, whether it's with your defensive lineman group or or the defense as a whole or special teams or a whole team meeting. There's nothing but meetings leading up to the games and practices where you are in pretty tight groups. And then that's not even talking about the game. So all of these things together, I just don't know how it's going to happen. We've seen it in baseball where some guy goes to have dinner with his buddies or they go to a casino or they go to a strip club or whatever it is, and bam, the whole team breaks out in this. Right. And that's baseball where they don't stand within 20 feet of each other. So I'm very concerned about how it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. That's number one. Number two is, and here's the biggest rub for me. I think the reason these administrators are getting together to have these conversations are really simple. And it's as simple as this. They know that the coaches are not going to be able to help themselves. They know that these coaches will want to win these games, will do everything they can to win these games, will push the envelope on safety, will push the envelope on all of these issues, because we have 100 years of history of coaches proving that's what they'll do. Right, that if you're asking a football coach to make a decision between get an advantage to try to win the game or keep my guys healthy, we both know which decision they're going to make. And I think that's where the administrators are saying, we can't put this in the coach's hands. We have to take this away from them because we know the decisions that they're going to make.
You, no doubt. And you had me at football coach. A football coach, yeah. He's only going to try to do one thing, is win the game. But, you know, it's not – for me, it's not so much what they do in the facility or at the practice field. I think you can regulate that. It's just what happens when they leave. You know how young people are. You go outside, you see it. When I go to the beach, I see it. You know, we're in a pandemic, you know, across the street – with people wearing masks or maintaining social distance, you look across the street at the beach and there's kids grouped together like it's every other summer. So how do you maintain that discipline when they leave the facility? The simple way to answer it, you can't. So look, if it's not going to be safe, then I'd rather not do it. And that's a painful thing for me to say because of what you just mentioned. I love watching college football, but not at the risk of the lives of these young kids playing it. It's already dangerous enough and they're not getting paid. You know, why make it even worse when you're in a pandemic situation, putting them on the field? So if you can't maintain or keep them safe, then, you know, I'm of the mind, just don't do it at all. Push it back to spring and let's see if we can get it on then.
Well,
I don't know what that means for Trevor Lawrence and group, though. I don't know what that means for kids that are about to be drafted. I have no idea what that means for their future. Really, I don't.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence or any player that's a high round draft pick, and you know, the season gets put back to the spring, I'm not playing. I mean, Trevor Lawrence doesn't need to put any more stuff on film, right? If I'm a high first round draft pick, they know what I can do. I'll go to the combine. I'll do all these things, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put my money and my future at risk just so I can go play one more college football season that's already a goofy one to begin with because it's going to be played in the spring. And you said something I think that's really important, DeMarco, and that is these guys aren't getting paid, right? That if you're Jared Goff or Andrew Whitworth or any of the Aaron Donald, you can make a decision. I can go make my tens of millions of dollars to go do this, or I cannot. And I'm assuming the risk. The football players, there's two things going on here. Number one, you just said it, the health and safety of these guys, because we just don't know who this hits the hardest. We just don't know who's going to be the guy that gets the terrible infection and maybe the worst possible thing happens to him. You can't have that at a college football program. From a liability issue, if somebody lost their life, DeMarco, are you kidding me?
Oh, geez. God forbid. Right.
I mean, absolutely. But it's not totally out of the realm of possibility. And then the second you bring these guys onto campus and tell everyone else to stay away, okay, you science teacher, you chemistry student, you English major, you can't come on here, but you got football players? Yeah, come on in. Then the argument of, they're amateurs and we can't pay them is ridiculous. Because if you can't open your universe, yeah, but now this is right here in front of us. They could lie and almost get away with it to a point. But yeah, it doesn't feel good. I'm glad that the players want to play. They've put together a little movement, the hashtag we want to play. The ACC is actually meeting as we speak, DeMarco. So what do you think? As we sit here at 6:12 on a Monday morning, we gonna have college football this year?
You know what? I'll probably say yes because there's too much money involved. There's too much money and there's too many kids that will play. There's a lot of kids out there that won't, but there's too many that will. You know the facts. There's too many that will. I said this before to you. There'll never be a shortage of football players in this country. Mm. There are too many kids that want that opportunity to play even through this. So I'm going to sit here and say yes. I bet you're going to have college football. Some way, shape, or form, whatever skeleton crew these will put out, you'll have college football on Saturdays in the fall.
I sure hope so. I'm highly skeptical. I think that they're going to pull the plug, but I'd like to be wrong. I would very much like to be wrong about this one. All right, the Lakers need to get some stuff figured out. They have dropped three in a row, and they have another tough opponent tonight in Denver. What's wrong with the Lakers? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So, DeMarco, I'm a little curious that, I've been doing this show from my garage for the better part of 5 months now. Since the pandemic started, it was weird for a week or two, and then it was just kind of old hat, and now it feels like I've been doing it my whole life from my garage. Where are you set up right now doing the morning show?
You don't want to know where I am right now. Really. You don't want to know. Let's just say it's a nice, quiet place. I've got magazines here and a nice window. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah, it's nice and quiet. It's a nice little studio booth. Yeah.
I'm just going to call it the DeMarco Farr Batcave.
I don't get this room to myself very often. Let's just say that.
Well, I guess you don't have to go anywhere if anything else comes up, so that's exciting. That's good to know.
Go All right. Was the operative word.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I had a feeling. It's so funny because, you've been a professional athlete. You've been an athlete your whole life. You've been covering sports as a member of the media for your whole life. And there's just so much of this stuff that is brand new, and we just don't know because we've never had every NBA team playing at the same spot in front of no fans. We've never had baseball teams playing in front of no fans. It's just a totally weird dynamic. So there's going to be some stuff that we're trying to figure out along the way. But playing bad is playing bad, right? When you look at the Lakers and them losing to the Pacers over the weekend, that's their third loss in a row. And there's a whole bunch of extenuating circumstances, but just not looking right is not a side effect of the pandemic. That's just not looking right, right?
No, I mean, it's not looking right. You're sacrificing, W's, but it seems like they're working on something. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or they're trying not to show the rest of the NBA something. So you are the one seed. I guess if you have some room to play, you're playing with house money. So I don't think they're panicking, but you want to get those W's. It doesn't look great, but I think is they're just not showing the rest of the league all their cards right now. Do you think I'm on to something with that?
I think it's possible. I think it's a pretty risky game to play because think about what we're talking about. Let's say that your theory is true, right? That they're deciding, you know what, we're the number one seed. Doesn't matter. We're going to play the number eight regardless. So let's not show our cards. Let's just kind of sit on this for a second, which, okay, first of all.
Especially if treachery is in the air and there's other teams conspiring against you. So I'd put a little misdirection if I could. Yeah.
I hear that, but here's the rub. Number one, there is a probably better than average chance that the team you're going to play is going to be the Portland Trailblazers. They're not a number eight seed. They're going to be the number eight seed, but that's not the eighth best team in the Western Conference. That's probably third or fourth, maybe even second best team in the Western Conference, arguably. So while maybe you want to keep your cards close and not let anybody see what you're doing, you don't want to go into the first round of the playoffs flat-footed against a team that can catch you. Right? That I'm a big believer in continuing to play. I know that health is important. I know that rest is important, but these guys had 4 months off. They should be healthy and rested. If that isn't going on right now, I don't know if it's ever going to happen between now and the end of this thing. So I'd want to be in the habit of playing well, playing with the guys that I'm going to play with. We still haven't seen Frank Vogel put out that lineup that is probably going to be that playoff lineup. I don't know if you just throw the switch game one against Portland or Phoenix or whoever it might be and say, okay, here it comes. We're all set. I'd like to be playing well going into that. And right now they're not.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. If all of a sudden he, you know, rolled out that playoff lineup and they just started clicking. This is a unique situation. Like you said, it's weird. You're playing in a bubble. This is new ground for a lot of guys. So I think what we used to know about the NBA or what we thought about the NBA, we're going to have to put aside and just focus on what we see. Because I bet you're going to see a team like the Lakers all of a sudden start to look great when it matters most. I think that is possible in today's NBA, especially being in the bubble, the way they're doing this tournament.
Is it the proverbial switch, DeMarco, is that real? As a professional athlete, can you just decide, okay, I'm going to be at my best starting now? It seems because we've seen it happen too many times where teams are a pretty good team. They're playing, they're sharp, they're crisp, they're moving along, and then they fall into this funk. It's like, oh, we'll be okay when we need to be okay. And then when you go to hit the gas, it's just not there.
Well, every shocking loss I've ever been a part of or watched was kind of similar, where you think a team is limping into it, and all of a sudden they wind up kicking your butt. They're a different squad come game day. So, you know, it's a little disingenuous, I guess, for me to say that LeBron can't flip a switch and drag people with him. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility for LeBron. And for me, even if the Lakers are looking bad, I look to LeBron's box score, and he still looks like LeBron to me. So If that guy is still playing up to snuff, I still think you have a shot to be one of those teams that can flip the proverbial switch and go from a team that doesn't look great to championship caliber in one night. You've seen it before in sports. We're about ready to write people off, and then all of a sudden they flip it, and we've got to change everything for the show in 1 hour. So yeah, Lakers are in position to do that sort of thing.
It does happen, and I couldn't agree more with you than what you said about LeBron, but let me just throw this out there. LeBron's switch went on. LeBron went out there and had 31 points in 35 minutes. He went out there and had 7 assists, 8 rebounds, a block, and he was fully LeBron. He shot the ball well, nearly 50%, you know, so-so from the three-point line, so-so from the foul line. But LeBron's switch went on. The rest of the team didn't. And the day I'm worried about LeBron James being able to play, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. LeBron is fine. But everyone else in that, so you're looking at Anthony Davis, 3 of 14. That's a terrible night for him. You look at the rest of these guys. KCP was okay. Alex Caruso into the starting lineup. Kyle Kuzma, who had been playing well, goes 3 for 14. He can't get anything going on. Quinn Cook was the second leading scorer on the team. You're not looking for Quinn Cook to be the guy to help you once you get into the playoffs. It'd be nice if you get a little gravy from him. That's great. But LeBron is the one piece I don't worry about. It's everyone else, in particular Anthony Davis, who's a fabulous player. He's been an all-NBA performer over and over again. But, I mean, let's call it what it is. Anthony Davis has been in the league a long time. He's been out of the first round of the playoffs once. That's weird. To be that good and be out of the first round of the playoffs once?
That's cause for concern. But let's be honest, man. He had some good looks. He just bricked. You know, I'd rather look. I mean, I think you ran the offense and you got him the looks that he wanted. He just didn't finish. Now, I think he is an all-star. I think he's one of the best players in the NBA. I think on any given night, he will hit those shots. So even if he does, if he ups his percentage by, let's say, 10 points, you might have a chance to stay in those games and win those games, especially last night or the other night they played. So, yeah, I mean, as long as you're getting those looks for Anthony Davis, at some point they're going to fall. When I start to worry, it's the same thing you just said. It's when LeBron starts to look off, when he starts to look tired or look old, look like Tiger Woods did in the PGA PGA Championship. That's when I start to worry. But when LeBron is hitting on any given night, just keep him in contention or with a chance to win the game, and more often than not, he's going to do it. So I'm not panicking as much as most Laker fans at this point right now.
Yeah, I don't know which planet LeBron's from, but apparently there is no aging on that universe. So he just keeps showing up and keeps doing whatever he does. I do think it's interesting. You mentioned a second ago, there's a theory out there that a number of the Western Conference teams are trying to stack the deck to get Portland that eighth seed. That the Clippers the other night didn't play Kawhi Leonard. They didn't use Paul George down the stretch of a close game against Portland. Now, the Clippers ended up winning the game anyway, but they did it without their best guys. Doc Rivers kind of just brushed it aside and said, you guys can make up whatever you want to make up. I'm not going to worry about that. But I wouldn't put it past the rest of the league to try to yank the Lakers chain, because the Lakers are, even though the Lakers have not been good for the better part of, 10 years or whatever it is, they're still the Lakers. Everybody else knows that the Lakers get all the attention, all the love. So if they're trying to stack it, I wouldn't put it past anybody.
Well, it's more than that. You're trying to knock out LeBron any way you can. If LeBron is at, you send LeBron home, that gives everybody a better chance to win a championship. If he's still in it, then everybody's a threat. So, it's the Lakers versus everybody, or everybody versus LeBron. It's always been that way. It's for every star player, it's been that way. So, and it's funny, when you ask Doc Rivers a question about, well, are you trying to tank to help Portland so you can, hurt the Lakers? That's like asking a magician to reveal his secrets. He's not going to tell you anything.
Right.
It's obvious. It's an illusion. It's obvious what they're doing, and it's obvious why. It should be you gang up on the best guy to see if you can knock him out. Because, if LeBron is at home, if he's gone fishing, wide open for everyone else to win a championship. If not, then it's LeBron going after his next championship. We all know this.
I wonder, DeMarc, because, look, certainly the Lakers are one of the favorites, but I don't know if they're such a prohibitive favorite that the rest of the league needs to try to stack the deck to get him out, because the Clippers and the Lakers, to me, feel like they're on relatively equal footing. I think the Lakers are a little better, but it's not a huge gap. You look at Milwaukee, same situation. You look at some of these other teams, I mean, the Rockets have given the Lakers trouble the last couple of times that they've played. You look at Toronto, the Lakers have struggled with Toronto all season long. I don't know if they need, because I'm just thinking, I got to beat who's in front of me. I can't worry, because let's say, just play this out for a second. Okay, the Clippers are going to try to lay down for Portland so Portland can clip the Lakers. Portland's just as dangerous to the Clippers as they are to the Lakers. If I'm the Clippers, I don't want Damian Lillard within 100 miles of my team. That's a bad dude.
With all due respect to Damian Lillard and his sister, I don't want to make her mad ever. But I would rather take my chances defending him than LeBron. That's just the way I feel. I'd rather take my chances with anybody else, Harden, name any all-star, Luka, than facing LeBron down the stretch. They're all good. They all can beat you. But like you said, this guy is just from a different planet. He can turn it on with the best. He's as competitive or more competitive than anybody in this league right now. So if I have a chance to help him, to help a team, knock him out or at least tax him a little bit, then I think I would do that. I think any coach worth their salt would do that, but I wouldn't tell you in the media.
Yeah, we'll keep that one to ourselves for sure. All right, yeah. Dodgers get a couple of really good at-bats towards the end of the game last night. Look good against San Francisco, but there's a big problem coming out of the weekend. We'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Well, DeMarco, here's what you need to know. Right now, I'm looking at the screen here on Get Up, and according to USA Today, if no college football is played, the average Power 5 school, okay, we're not talking Ohio State, LSU, and Alabama, and USC, the average Power 5 school would lose $78
million. $78 million.
So there you go. When it comes to whether or not they're going to try to get this done, go ahead and try to make up a $78 million hole in your budget and see if you don't try to play a little football.
I've seen whole movies where cartels like destroy cities for less. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, that's a lot of money. Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. There's too much money at stake, Trav. I bet they're going to be playing. Yeah.
Can I be really, really kind of gross for a second? And I'm sure the decision they're trying to make is, okay, we're going to lose out in $78 million in revenue if we don't play. What's the cost if the worst thing happens? How much is it going to cost us? That's the math they're doing.
If the worst thing happens? Wow.
Yeah,
they're sitting in a room and they're saying, if the worst thing happens, how much is that going to cost versus wow? You know, I wouldn't want to be in that meeting.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't want to be talking
about
that.
Look, it's like I said, and that's why I prefaced it by saying I'm going to be gross for a second, because it is gross, but I have to wonder that that's not taking place, because that's somebody's job right there to make that analysis, right? I mean, it's as awful as it is, it's somebody's decision to say, this is what we're risking, $78 million,
if
somebody dies, or if we have a whole bunch of guys get sick and they all sue us and they can prove that our protocols weren't. And let's say it's not even the worst thing. Let's just say it's, you know, a bunch of kids end up really, really sick in the hospital on ventilators, can't go to school, have some sort of long-term health problems. What does that cost? I mean, this is the math that's being done, right?
Oh, that's so scary. Where do you go to school to get that sort of degree?
I don't know.
This is what you have to talk about. Wow.
It's a mess. It is a mess. Man. Dodgers, DeMarco, get another series win. They take 2 out of 3 from the Giants. They're 11-5 on the season. Here's the good news. Dodgers were behind late in the game yesterday. They were going into the 7th inning. They were down 2-0. AJ Pollock, bam, 3-run home run, puts them ahead. Next inning, Mookie Betts, bam, 3-run home run. They end up winning that game pretty comfortably, 6-2. That's the good news, because they have all of these guys that can do these things. But what's interesting about the Dodgers so far, they're winning more with their pitching than anything else. Their offense really hasn't popped yet. It really hasn't been what we think it's going to be once it gets up and running. And they're 11-5. That's really bad news for everybody else in baseball.
Well, where would you want to be right now? Hot offense or hot pitching? Right now, this the early part of the season, what feels better to you if your goal is to win a World Series? And like you said,
the pitching.
We're early. Would you,
the pitching.
Hot pitching versus hot offense. Offense will come around. The more at-bats you get, eventually the law of average will come towards you and you'll start hitting. I think I'm with you. I think it's all pitching. You're 11-5. You're ahead of the game. But as long as you're pitching well, I think you easy as in Dodger Blue, as long as your arms are doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, and it's not just that they're pitching well, which they are. It's where they're pitching well, in particular in their bullpen. Their bullpen has been so good, and that pretty much every guy that's come out. Their starting pitching has been, you know, if we're giving letter grades, the starting pitching has been a B, maybe a B plus, but the bullpen's been an A plus. It's just every guy that comes out of it. Here's the rub. Here's the one thing that if I'm Dave Roberts, I'm thinking about down the road, because I have a feeling there may be a very uncomfortable conversation and a very uncomfortable decision coming up in the not-too-distant future. The fact of the matter is this. Clayton Kershaw is the 4th or 5th best pitcher on this team, starting pitcher I'm talking about. And that's weird to say out loud because he's Clayton Kershaw. It's weird to say out loud because he's a former MVP, multiple Cy Youngs, deadlock cinch Hall of Fame player, one of the great Dodgers of all time. His number 22 is going to hang in the outfield with Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Don Sutton and all the other great pitchers that the Dodgers have had. The fact of the matter is, he's not that guy anymore. Walker Buehler yesterday pitched DeMarco, and he wasn't very good, but his stuff is so good that they still struggle to hit him. Because he throws 100 miles an hour, because the ball is dipping and diving all over the place. You look at Dustin May. You look at even a guy like Ross Stripling, who is able to locate his pitches. Clayton Kershaw hits the middle of the plate way too often. You have 3 home runs in 5 innings over the weekend. He gave up a couple of doubles as well. They're getting really loud hits off of him, and the Dodgers are trying to win the World Series. They're not trying to make people feel good, and right now he's the soft spot. That's a weird spot for Dave Roberts to be in, especially if the trend continues.
How do you handle that if you're Dave Roberts? What would you do with Clayton Kershaw? Like you said, he's a legend. Do you go to him and say, I've lost confidence in you? I mean, I think you just have to ride with him, don't you think? And hope he finds his stuff. I mean, and hope he stops finding the middle of the plate. I would dare say, don't you still have confidence in Clayton Kershaw?
I don't. I don't. I've seen it happen too often over the last couple of years. Clayton Kershaw never gave up home runs, right? He never gave up home runs for the vast majority of his career until the last couple of seasons. He was not a guy that you would get a home run off of. Maybe once, you know, once or twice a month, somebody might get one. Now he's good for two or three a game. And it's just, you can't, put it to you this way. I'm not saying you take him out of the rotation. I'm not saying that you do that. Okay. But as you get closer to the playoffs, we've seen playoff Kershaw. It's a different animal than regular season Kershaw. Regular season Kershaw the last couple of seasons has been good, but less than stellar of what he typically is. Compared to his best self, it's different. It's still good by Major League Baseball standards, but by Clayton Kershaw standards, it's less. And you just can't keep thinking it's going to turn when there's been no evidence that it's going to turn in the playoffs, right? You look at Bueller, you look at May. Like before the pandemic, remember this? Before the pandemic, Dave Roberts was making the decision about who was going to be the opening day starter. Was it going to be Kershaw or was it going to be Bueller? And they had a little sit down and ultimately it was Kershaw. And it felt like more of a, all right, you've been around a long time. You can do it. But we all agree he's the better option at this point. They need to make that decision now moving forward into the playoffs because as weird as it is, we're almost there. We're only about 6 weeks away from the playoffs, and you just don't have time to try to figure it out on the fly. You got to put your best guys out there, and right now he's not.
I wonder where he is mentally. I wonder if he knows. I wonder if he still thinks he can find it because, you know, if he's asked, if he – do you want the ball? He's going to say yes. But at some point, if you know you're not the best option, then I think you should say something. But that's never going to happen in sport. You always think you're going to be the guy even if you're not. So if you're Dave Roberts, it's a tough situation. And it really is. I think there's no way out of it. You just have to hope that Clayton Kershaw stuff because if situation that same, I bet you go with Kershaw again. What choice do you have?
They do have choices. They've got some guys, but to your point, to sit him down or to skip him or whatever it is not easy to do. 4 1/3 innings, 7 hits. 5 of those 7 hits were either doubles or home runs. So. Something to absolutely think about if you're Dave Roberts, because you do have other guys, young guys. Like we were talking about that Morikawa kid. There's the baseball equivalent. Clayton Kershaw is Tiger Woods, right? Morikawa or Tiger Woods? Wow. Right now, it's not a hard decision. So this decision shouldn't be nearly as difficult as well. All right, like we were talking about earlier, college football conference commissioners are trying to get together and decide whether or not they can have a college football season. Adam Rittenberg, who covers college football for ESPN, he's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on where these teams are. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. But before that, Karen Kay and traffic. Karen, how's it looking?
Busy this Monday morning, Travis. Heading on out to Chino. Crash made its way to the right shoulder. 60 westbound right after the 71 at Gary. And checking out a problem through Colton. This is the 215 southbound before La Cadena Drive, Center Street. Carpool lane is blocked. We've got a 3-car crash, so watch out if you're in the IE in Colton. This report sponsored by Lowe's. The Lowe's for Pros loyalty program gives pros personalized offers, purchase tracking, business management tools. Sign up today at lowesforpros.com/pro-loyalty. One more reason why Lowe's is the new home for pros. Terms and conditions apply. U.S. only. Karen K. 710 ESPN.
All right, so yesterday the story broke that a number of the Power Five conferences in college football were getting together and discussing the possibility of not having a college football season this fall. Joining us right now to talk about that is Adam Rittenberg, who's an ESPN college football reporter. Adam, good morning. How are you feeling?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. Doing great.
Good, good. It's good to have you on. Let's just start right here. What are you hearing right now? When might we have a decision about the Power Five conferences and their ability to play college football in the fall?
Right. Well, I don't think there's going to be a collective decision, and that's just not surprising given how the sport is. They couldn't even get to a collective decision on when to announce their schedule models for this theoretical season. But I think the two leagues to look out for are the Big Ten and the Pac-12. The Big Ten, as we reported, a very large majority of their presidents are prepared to postpone the fall season. They haven't had a formal vote. or announcement yet, but that could come as early as today, if not tomorrow. And then I think the Pac-12, a league that the Big Ten is very close to, you know, does have their president's meeting on Tuesday. I think there's a hope in some Big Ten corners that the league can announce together that they've postponed the fall season. As for the other three leagues, you know, they're in a different position. I think, you know, certainly the SEC and the Big 12 seem okay with waiting a little bit longer. But it's going to be, I think, a more difficult environment, especially for presidents, when they see, you know, Power Five, their colleagues in the other Power Five conferences deciding that it's not safe to play this fall. So I think the next, you know, 48 hours or so are going to be very, very critical for what's left of this fall season in college football.
I know it's beside the point, but it is the point in college football. So if you have the Pac-12 sitting out, the Big Ten decides to sit out, how do you crown a national championship with four teams or three power five conference teams playing football this year? How do you go ahead and go on with a championship if you have two conferences sitting out?
Right. You know, it's a great question. I don't know how you do that. Now, I mean, you could certainly say, you know, those who will play as a college football playoff selection committee will find a way to get to four teams. I just think it's very difficult, though. I mean, you know, this sport is predicated on, you know, having at least the Power Five in every year and having, you know, most of the Group of Five, if not all the Group of Five. And we already know one conference is out in the Mid-American Conference, which announced that they're postponing their fall season on Saturday. So it's going to be very difficult. You know, as some sources were telling us over the weekend, you know, nobody wants to be on an island. Nobody wants to be kind of the last league digging in on this, you know, even though there are some arguments to continue on. And the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC have great resources, and, you know, they have some semblance of a plan. But one thing that's really, I think, come to light during this process, guys, is just the lack of leadership around college football, the lack of unified leadership. I mean, the fact that you have player groups that are still saying, we don't know, we don't feel safe, we need to know exactly what your plan is from health and safety, and we're not communicating with you guys enough at the league level. You're seeing that in the Pac-12 player movement. You're even seeing it last night with the, you know, We Want to Play movement that's really picked up steam, you know, with some prominent players leading the way. But the fact that they're asking this on, what is it, August 10th today, it just shows that, you know, what have we been doing? What have all these calls over the last 4, 5, 6 months been about if these players are still expressing the same types of concerns?
Adam Rittenberg joining us here on the morning show. He covers college football for ESPN. Adam, you just mentioned it, the We Want to Play. You know, Trevor Lawrence's name has been attached to that along with a number of others. You go back to last week, there were players in the Pac-12, the Big 12 saying, hey, here are some of the things that we'd like to see happen before we go and play. How much of the decision of the conferences themselves have to do with these two different factions? And so there's some overlap there to be sure. Are the players driving this decision, or is it more just kind of an interesting story that they're going to make the decision regardless of what the players are asking for on the other side?
Well, it's just so late in the game. I mean, the Big Ten presidents are ready to make this decision. And you know, it was admirable what's going on. I think every voice deserves to be heard. And honestly, those two movements aligned last night. You know, there were some... a tweet or a graphic that showed both movements sort of together and the things that they wanted. That is, you know, that's certainly relevant, but it's just so late in the process now. I don't think, it might certainly buy some leagues that aren't ready to make the decision a little bit more time and say, listen, look at what the players are saying. Look at the support that they're generating. And you know, a lot of them do feel comfortable with more or less some of the things that are in place. That they do want to have conversations. But I mean, again, you know, I know it doesn't seem that far off, but we're talking about a month and a half, and then you know, until this season kicks off, even in the latest dates, unless you're going to move the start of the season back, it just feels a little bit too late. And again, I don't want to disparage the players because I think they've done a great job. It's been historic to see what they've been able to do. But I think this would have been a much more effective movement back in May. And now they may just not have known or just didn't feel like they could organize back then. But to be doing this now when it's just about to be canceled, it's tough to kind of stem that tide at this point.
If you were a guy that's a potential top five pick, if you were that guy, would you opt out of this season knowing what you know right now?
Well, I, you know, again, it depends on my situation. You know, you've seen – you know, the two top picks in the draft, the three top picks have expressed that they feel okay trying to play a season. I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, the two quarterbacks, were helping to lead this movement that really launched last night on social media. Penei Sewell, the Oregon offensive lineman, who I think will be the number three pick, or certainly no later than five, he has voiced his support. And so not all players, most of them want to play. I mean, that's been clear. But I think any season that's moved out of the fall window to the spring, I can't see any of those top players doing that at that point, because the NFL is not going to move their timeline. I mean, they're going to have, you know, whatever pre-draft events they can have next year, which may be none, but they're not going to move their draft, I think, to June or July just to accommodate a spring college football season. So I think if the season does move off of the fall window for everybody, you're going to see a lot more players opting out. It's, you know, first-round picks, guys who think they're first-round picks, guys who think they're second-round picks. It's going to be a lot of guys that just say, we can't do this.
Yeah, Adam, with that in mind, let's say that the decision is made, you know, today, later this week, whenever it is, that, okay, fall football is not going to happen. We can't do it. We can't do it safely. Let's wait until the spring. Is there a chance that we just don't have football, period, because of all the reasons that you just mentioned, that the very best players opt out, decide not to play spring football to protect their NFL interests as well, and that these teams just to say, you know what, it's in the spring anyway. It was already going to be weird. Let's just pull the plug. We'll see you in the fall of 2021.
I don't think they would do it because prominent players are out, because, you know, college football rosters are big enough. And that's another thing that's going to have to be worked out here, is the eligibility factor of, you know, who is still eligible. Do the mid-year enrollees from high school, are they eligible for the spring? I don't think they would be. But how does your roster look, especially if you're losing a huge chunk of players who don't want to play in the spring? So I think it's likelier that the spring would just be seen as too difficult to pull off because of the scheduling, the logistics. Yeah, there is certainly a financial argument to play, but then there's also an argument, like right now you're saying it's not safe for these guys to play and then for their health. And then you're asking, you know, those that aren't seniors or aren't going to the draft to play two seasons in one calendar year. That's an argument I've gotten from coaches a lot. And I'm not a fan of the spring season. I can see how college athletics may go that route, but it's just a very difficult thing to pull off. So, yes, I think it could be they could just decide, you know what, we're not having college sports this year. We'll deal with the financial repercussions. This will be very significant over a long period. But let's not screw up fall 2021. That's one thing that a lot of coaches have said to me. Let's just get there, and hopefully everything will be closer to normal, and we can have a full season with full preseason and all of that, and just get back to how we're used to doing it.
I remember I liked playing football in the spring. No conditioning, but that's a different subject. Has there been any voices of dissent within the Pac-12? Any school saying we want to go versus a school that says we won't go? Like the Big 12 or the Big 10. Has any school said that we're in favor of playing versus a team that says, or a school that says, we're not going? Any voices of dissent within any of these conferences?
You know, the Pac-12, I haven't heard that explicitly, and now it's very different. You know, the virus is in a different place in different areas of the league, and so, you know, I'd be curious if there'd be, you know, a more willingness to attempt a season, you know, in Oregon, you know, with those two schools, as opposed to Southern California or Arizona, where you're seeing a lot of issues just you know, from outside campus with containing the virus. And, you know, I think the California schools all along have been looked at as places where it's going to be difficult to play, because you have, you know, a state that's put, at least attempted to put in a lot of you know, restrictions in terms of gatherings and the ability to have sports, and you have the virus numbers, which unfortunately aren't great for much of that state. And so, you know, the Utahs and the Colorados, they may be more willing to at least go forward. But I would imagine both of those leagues will ultimately get to a consensus or a near consensus from the presidential level.
Adam Rittenberg covers college football for ESPN. Adam, really appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Thanks a bunch.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, you got it. There's a whole bunch in there, DeMarco, that I want to go back and talk with you about. Plus, training camp is open. This is when we'll be talking about some preseason NFL football. Where are the Rams getting ready for their 2020 season? That's all straight ahead on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.